We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
What is up, Roto Grinders? NFL Pick 6 Show, Week 14, sponsored by Thrive. Usual suspects, as always, two of the absolute best fantasy football analysts in the business, Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis, John Daigle, the birthday boy, 4-for-4, bet spurts. Officially, this, you know, we've had some fraudulent birthday calls over the year, but this is officially true. Daigle, Week 14, for your birthday, we have a 10-game slate. We have a Twitter season-long people very upset that, like, you can't – on buys, we have playoffs on buy. Does the NFL not know, like, the only reason why we're watching Rams-Raiders is because of gambling and fantasy football? They can't figure this out. But, yeah, Daigle, what's going on? How are things in your world? We got a 10-gamer. Can't wait to talk about it.
33 years old, doing well. Actually went out with a avid listener of the show on Tuesday for beers during the World Cup game here in Chicago. So shout out to David, who watches every single week and listens to us. And yeah, I thought it was a fun Week 13 slate. We talked about Jalen Hurts doubles. They got there on FanDuel, on DraftKings. It was really interesting because paying down for Jared Goff, Zonovan Knight, and Samaj Perine, who became chalk late in the week, that allowed you then to win the slate and then getting up to Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. So it was just like an interesting construct for lineups last week. It made sense. It's always good when the lineups make sense. So yeah, fun time.
Rich, anything of notes as far as Week 13 before we dig into Week 14? And yeah, what is up with that? The Bears not playing, Falcons not playing, Packers, Colts, Saints, Commanders. And thankfully my one season long team, I actually have a bye. Just be good enough and don't worry about these silly buys, right?
Humble brag.
It's the Roto Grinder season long. My team's not very good. I've been skating by. I'm like the Giants, basically. I'm gonna fall pretty quickly. All right, I have a fraudulent record. The Vikings. I guess we could talk about that as well. Rich, anything of notes as far as Week 13? Anything you want to say in a broad sense as far as Week 14 before we dig in and break it down?
Yeah, happy birthday, Daigle, officially for the show. This one actually counts. Yeah, and you know, we go from having arguably the most fun slate of NFL games to arguably the worst. Dude. So let's follow it up.
We got some galaxy brain takes coming here.
I mean, this slate is absolutely miserable. So I'm gonna need some help here to kick this thing off.
Yeah, sometimes they get better as the week progresses.
Yes, that's what we're hoping. But if the light at the end of the tunnel is Travis Homer, then I don't know if we're gonna really right. Better.
Yeah. Yeah, 10-gamer, obviously no Vegas, no Rams, no Miami, no Chargers.
That flexing that Chargers Dolphins game had a massive impact on this DFS slate.
Oh, that was in the main slate? I didn't know that.
Chiefs Broncos was the original Sunday night game. And I would have rather just punted that because I could have watched football for 6 hours, followed DFS, and then just not watched the Sunday night game and like hung out with my wife and did something constructive. But now they kicked off that game for Tua versus Herbert, because that's one you've got to watch, I think, on Twitter, because it's been like the holy war of Herbert versus Tua this year again.
Yeah. I've had my fill of Broncos, so I respect them for like sparing America. I get it. I think we're all at our quota as far as watching the Broncos.
I mean, Collinsworth deserved it for all the PFF playoffs.
Oh, man. So if this is your first time listening, we focus on three main games, three games, all angles. We talk about it all sides, and we kind of run it back, give our fair plays position by position. And if this is your first time, if this is like your 14th time listening to this show, you would know. You would know who's coming in with the very first game on the board is. It's the Pick Six show. Might as well be the Pick Five and the Lions. The Lions are always featured. It's 52.5 is a total, and that total is like no other as far as the slate. You know, Rich kind of hinted at it as far as the slate being kind of putrid. 52.5 total, Minnesota. Lions, a lot of line movement. They are now 2.5-point favorites. Apparently it opened as them being 2.5-point dogs at home versus Minnesota. No respect for Minnesota. And the next highest total was what, 47.5, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
There's a favorite this week that has a sub 20-point team total.
Is that Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
We only have one total of at least 49 points in the main slate, right? This one?
Yeah, you rounded up. The Cleveland, Cincinnati is 47.5. That's the second highest.
Oh, good grief. That's so low. It's like a touchdown lower.
Yeah. That's why Minnesota, Detroit, like we talked about Jacksonville and Detroit last week and why that would be a featured game. And I think Minnesota, we'll dig in, but like, you know, exactly where everything is coming from on the Minnesota side. It's super, super obvious. Like where the usage is going to go. But yeah, John, you set the table, Minnesota at Detroit, 2.5-point favorite versus the Vikings. Dealer's choice. It's your birthday. You want to talk about Minnesota or Detroit first?
I want to start with the Lions side because I have the most confidence in their offense. They are now scoring 31.5 points per game over the last month, and the Vikings on that side of the ball are allowing 29.5 points in that span. This is the Lions' third consecutive game at home, indoors as well, and the Vikings' defense over this past four-game stretch has also been allowing, allowing per game 8.5 plays of 15-plus yards through the air. So we think Jared Goff, and we think this Lions offense can definitely get there in an explosive matchup. And what makes it fun is that for the first time, I think genuinely all year, we have some unique stacking partners to go along with Amon-Ra St. Brown, because we have now DJ Shark this past game leading the team in routes run, his highest target share since he was initially injured, and also the second highest target share on the team behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then, of course, Shark also, for the Vikings at least, one of only two defenses allowing 10 yards per target and 100 receiving yards per game from the boundary, where Shark runs a majority of his routes. Not to mention DeAndre Swift. We can get into that in more detail in a bit, but at least we know we've seen that the Vikings are our top three defense in allowing yards per attempt and receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. So genuinely, our Pick Six lines for the first time ever have double stacking partners. And double stacks aren't even how Jared Goff got there last week. All you had to do was play Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then get to Davante Adams. But yeah, I think it's an exciting slate to start here for that reason with the Lions offense.
Amon-Ra looks like he's going to be heavily owned once again. Like, he just, his salary never has been seen to keep up with what he's pumping out there. 7.8K on DK, 8.6 on FanDuel, still probably not enough. Just a
little 8.6 on FanDuel is a big boy price, though.
It's around Justin Jefferson on FanDuel.
For Amon, because if Amon-Ra doesn't score a touchdown on FanDuel, you're fine, like, not being in on it. But DraftKings finally got religion, finally. And, like, at least he's, like, you know, up to 8K, like, close to 8K. Because, Thanksgiving, he was 6.6 on DraftKings. Then he was 7.1 last week?
He was underpriced. So,
yeah, he's been on DraftKings all year. It's been like a yearly thing. Now it's transitioned to, well, DraftKings has done that all year. We've talked about it. You know, Daigle's Rainmaker's take. And, you know, guys like, you know, Tyler Lockett took like 2 months to get pricing right now. Like Garrett Wilson is still like can't get the 6K. So I mean, we'll talk about Garrett Wilson too, I'm sure, on the show. But they seem to just drag their feet for like a month on guys.
Your thoughts? Well, I mean, I assume you echo everything that John said as far as Amon-Ra. He's just a stud once again this week. Certainly you can play him, and, you know, we'll see where ownership lies end of the week. If you have anything to add there, by all means, go for it. You probably have some stats. If you want to talk about DJ Chark, is it worth talking about Jameson Williams? He barely played, right? We're assuming that they're going to bring him back really slowly.
Yeah, what, he ran eight pass routes, eight snaps, two pass routes. So, yeah, it, you know, still just a complete shot in the dark. I'd imagine they try to get him ramped up, but it's, I mean – Chark was the guy they had signed to kind of play this role as a transition, and his snaps have just gone up since he's come back from the ankle injury. So he looks pretty safe as like the wide receiver tube guy. Remember, this is a base 11 personnel team too, especially since the trade of Thomas James Hockenson. So we can't play any of those tight ends. These vagabonds, these Detroit tight ends, they just like removed a guy for like, don't worry about any of these guys. So now that we're actually getting some stability outside of the Sun God, it is nice to have someone else besides him, even though he's still just going to soak up a bunch of targets. And the Vikings are those teams. They sit back, play a lot of zone. Amon-Ra is third in the NFL in yards per out run against zone coverage. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense when you think of the role he plays in the offense to get a bunch of those zone looks. They did play a lot more man last week against Mike White, which we'll talk about, you know, again on the show a little bit later. But I think they'll end up playing a lot of zone here again, like they typically do under Ed Donatell. But yeah, Daigle pretty much covered it with the Lions. I think it's pretty easy. You'll see a lot of people talk about the home road splits with Jared Goff, and maybe we'll get into those in future weeks because they are at home again this week. He's got 17 passing touchdowns at home, just two on the road. But if you look at the teams the Lions have faced at home, and it makes a lot of sense that he's been really good at home. Like they've faced the Commanders at home, the Seahawks at home, the Dolphins at home, last week the Jaguars. There's a reason why he has all those passing touchdowns at home.
What about Swift? We finally saw his usage increase. I know snap count's not the end-all, be-all, but it was good to see him, 51% snap count last week. Jamal, 30%. For some reason, they're still giving Justin Jackson 21%, which is just mind-boggling, but whatever. Are we buying this, Rich? Is Swift taking a step forward? I guess Detroit has an outside chance to make a run at the playoffs, or sort of, somewhat, maybe, not really.
It's the NFC, man. Everyone's live in the hunt. Hunt graphic for the NFC is basically like every team but two right now. We'll see if he's practicing a full like he was at the end of last week. It's a pretty good sign. Remember, last week was the first week that he wasn't on the injury report at all, and then obviously correlation to him having his largest run out since week one. It seems to make a lot of sense. So you know, if he gets through the end of this week, and you remember Wednesday. We don't really care about guys like sitting on Wednesdays, but you know, he's full practicing on Thursday, Friday, then I believe, why not? We can look at him, especially because in this particular matchup, it would make sense that they don't kind of go with like a run heavy approach. It's fine if they get down to the 1 yard line. I mean, just like they do every week, it feels like someone for the Lions gets tackled at the 1 yard line. Jamal Williams comes in, punches in his touchdown. But where the Vikings are actually still good defensively is, you know, stopping the run. They're sixth in yards allowed per carry to opposing running backs. So, like, it would make sense for them to be, like, a more aggressive pass-heavy coach approach. Use Swift in the passing game, too, to combat some of the zone coverage. I think it makes a lot of sense if we see him practice in full to close the week.
John, what do you have as far as Swift? Anything else you want to talk about as far as the Lions? Or feel free to jump over and talk about the Vikings.
We talked about Chark, Swift. I think they all offer stacking partners with Jared Goff here, who's yet again an amazing play to save salary. I'm a little torn on this Kirk Cousins spot because he should be lifted, elevated by the game script. But at the same time, like we know, the Lions are a top six defense in the amount of man coverage they play in snaps because they blitz a lot. And although Justin Jefferson has been one of the best players against man coverage this year, he's actually elevated his game 3.3 yards per out run against man coverage the past 5 weeks with TJ Hockenson on the field soaking up those intermediate targets on behalf of the Vikings. But Cousins against man coverage this year, he's thrown the sixth most pass attempts against that particular defense, and he's averaging the seventh worst EPA, completing just 50% of his passes for 6.5 yards per attempt, and the same touchdown rate as Russell Wilson. So I'm a little bit, I understand Cousins popping in the models. I understand it looks like a good spot for the Vikings offense, but I'm almost torn and thinking that it may be a better spot for Dalvin Cook here. And I wish the targets were amounting to more receiving points, especially since T.J. Hockenson now is out targeting Dalvin Cook since he joined the team. But at least we can lean and say, okay, well, Lions still allowing the third highest rate of explosive rushes. And also, Cook has handled 80% of the team's backfield touches in 6 of his last 7 games. So I'm trying to flip the script here, even though Justin Jefferson is yet again an amazing play. And maybe I play Dalvin Cook instead as a unique pivot in this game.
Rich, you start with Cook or you start with Jefferson on the Minnesota side?
Well, it depends how you believe the game's going to go. I mean, if you believe the Lions are worthy favorites here, like I do, because when you look at the like what the Minnesota, how, what they're doing defensively over the past month is like a good reason to kind of factor in here, then you would kind of lean towards it, be more of an aggressive passing script, right? Lions also have been pretty good against the run since their bye. We've seen a lot of teams not get there, right? They were like the front half of the year. It's like, man, just play everyone against the Lions. It's interesting, too, is the Texans actually like the last month have been pretty good against the run, too. And like you were starting to see some of these things kind of shift as the season moves along. And you don't look at some of these season long stats as much. They moved up to 14th since they're buying yards per carry allowed to running backs. They've allowed a first down or touchdown on 22.8% of backfield carries. It's up to the 16th from 31st. They've allowed just one rushing touchdown since week 8, too, and it was to Matt Breida. So they have been a little bit better against the run, too. So the Lions not just only offensively are doing well. They've at least gotten from, like, the bottom of the league to being, like, respectable defense. And that's, like, a huge shift from where they were the front half of the year.
You mentioned Thomas James, TJ.
Thomas James, Hockenson, the revenge game, yeah. Which was hot last week. The revenge game narrative had a week last week.
AJ Brown, yeah, or Arthur Juan. Is that? I'm not stealing your bit here. But I think it's Arthur Juan. Is that correct?
Yeah. Arthur Juan, and Arthur Juan is a dope name. Like I would just want to be go by Arthur Juan too. Like, Thomas James is pretty lame, but like Arthur Juan.
He got the GM fired in Tennessee. that's how much he revenged on against the Titans last.
Thomas James sounds like a director who uses too many lens flares.
Well, Thomas Jane is an actor, so like
that's what I thought you said at first. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Thomas Jane, the actor, and he was in Hung on HBO is the first thing that comes to mind for some reason, but he was in other things as well. How do we feel about the revenge game for Hockenson? I know we love talking about tight ends here, John. I saw the best tight end of the week amongst everybody was like, who was it on Monday night? Who was it?
Kate Otten.
Yeah. Ridiculous. What is this? What are we doing?
At least the usage, you know, we know you could play Kate Otten if Cam Brate's out. If Cam Brate plays, you don't have to worry about Otten at all. At least
how frustrating is it that like when Brate's out, like Otten gets all these targets, but when both of them play, like they don't throw to the tight ends at all.
It's insane. I also just assumed that if people pay up at tight end, like the Mark Andrews splits are known by my mom by now. So like everyone's going to play Mark Andrews or Tyler Huntley.
Oh, everyone's playing Dulce still HJ is going to be the most popular tight end on this slate, 100%. Like there's no way everyone's playing him.
Dude, the Chiefs are literally averaging more than double points per game than the Broncos, who are averaging under 14. That game is ridiculous.
How big is the sample of the Mark Andrews splits? I'm curious because I mean, you're just bringing it up now.
Five games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And no one's even including last week's game as part of them. They're just like, hey, remember all these games last year? And then I was like, well, I just watched Sunday.
I watched DeMarcus Robinson have a 25% target share. Also, no one sees apparently that the Ravens have a 17-point team total. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thomas James is basically new Zach Ertz, right, with the Vikings. Like the targets have been there, but 7.5 yards per catch, 5.6 yards per target, just the volumes there. He's just like replaced what we were getting from Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz, we lost him for the season. So like we just took Hockenson and said, like, you be new Zach Ertz.
We got anything else here as far as Minnesota, Detroit, Rich? Any other stats you have on layaway or ready to
move on? I don't have any stats. No, this is the game. This game's going to have all the ownership. If this game somehow doesn't get there, I don't know what the hell you're really stacking in the 4 p.m. slate in this week. But if this one doesn't get there, this is where all the ownership's going to be early.
Gosh, these are the types of games I usually fade, like Bengals Chiefs last week. I may play 6 players from this game. Like, that may be the way to go on the slate. Like, go overweight on it.
The 4 o'clock window is Kansas City versus Denver, 43.5. It's just weird to see Kansas City at 43.5 total, but that's what Russ Wilson.
Not their fault.
Yeah, they're carrying their side of it. Carolina, Seattle, 43.5 is the total. And then it's just weird to see Brock Purdy is a favorite over Tom Brady. I know other guys are playing football in that game, but just interesting.
I mean, did you watch Monday night?
No, I saw that Brady came back and like good for him. But it's like Tebow. Remember Tebow would have like one good drive at the end of the game, and like because his defense was so good, he pulled it out. Is that what Brady is doing? Is it Tebow?
I mean, there's a whole lot of to go into, but like the Bucs haven't scored 23 points in 8 consecutive games. Like they're just not an offense you respect, and now they're on a short week traveling the country playing the best defense in the league. Like it could be a disaster.
37.5 is the total in that game. Not even the lowest total, as I mentioned. Baltimore.
37.5. Goodness great. With Christian McCaffrey, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, 37.5, and they're right.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. If you had to bet the under in this game or the over, you're taking the under, John?
Oh, it's probably too low to take the under, but if it went under, it's not that shocking.
No. We're going to take the under on amount of plays you see from Scott Hansen in this game.
Well, what are we watching? We're not watching the Denver offense.
Ooh, yeah. That's
Carolina?
True. What Geno's playing it for?
Actually, right. Yeah, report back on that, Dean. What do you see after 3 p.m. on Red Zone? Because it may just go black. It may just go dark.
I don't know. It might just be the Chiefs, and that's that. Like, Chiefs in Seattle, I guess. I don't know. It's going to be – oh, man, Red Zone's not going to be fun. Scott Hansen, rough job. In only 3 games, he's got a filibuster a little bit more when it's only 3 games to go. Second game that we're going to focus on, the Jags and the Titans. Another paltry total of 41.5. Titans are about a 3-point favorite here. Rich, I'll throw this one to you. We're expecting Lawrence to play this week. That's the report on a Wednesday night, at least. Stay tuned. He had the last play of the first half last week. He took a rough hit. He did got it out and play the game, finish it out. He might have not played the last series, but he played enough to make you think that I assume he's going to be good to go, and we'll see how it is, but and I think he missed a practice, but who cares? Wednesday. Speculation is just good. At least that's what we're going to talk about it as far as a Wednesday night. D. Hemberg, not a good start for Derrick Henry. He's been bad for like a month now. Is that something we talked about last week on the show? Yeah. Now, and is that the foot injury thing? Is that matchup stuff? Like last week?
There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, their offensive line is pretty bad. The offense is pretty bad surrounding him. If we don't get Treylon Burks, like what is there to respect here? Listen, Daigle's got some explaining to do on this one, so you might as well just have him
look,
go ahead.
Look at the slate. You tell me what I'm supposed to explain.
I mean, Browns-Bengals I thought was a lock, but I want you to sell me on this one. The one thing I will say is that this defense the Jaguars are putting on the field, man, is bottom rung. Like, absolutely. The past 5 weeks, they have forced a punt on just 17% of opponent drives. They're allowing 6.6 yards per play. That's 31st in the league. The Vikings are the only team worse than them over that span. They're allowing a league high 42 yards per possession over that span. So if there ever was a spot for these Titans guys to get there, this Jags defense is just handing out yardage and points as needed.
Am I wrong to say that Detroit scored on every possession? Okay, did not need a punter, not necessary. Okay, it might have been a turnover. Yeah, they did not punt once. Congratulations for that. Is that the cure? Is that the cure all here for Henry, John? As far as this defense for the Jags, is he just going to run all over him? Is he going to be fine all of a sudden?
Well, as Rich said, the Jaguars allowing everything, but more importantly, I look at the 290 yards through the air per game since week 6, and also the Jaguars in that time have basically just laid down for a top 9 finish to opposing quarterbacks, including Jared Goff's QB4 finish last week in 6 of their last 7 games. Russell Wilson in that time was the only exception because, of course, he was. So, yeah, it's like Ryan Tannehill, I look at the slate and I say, if we get Treylon Burks, like, of course Ryan Tannehill can win this slate, given how bad the Jaguars are.
God damn it. I can't believe it. Someone clip that.
That's the theme of the slate. And we know the Titans defense, like we talked about with Jalen Hurts last week, where they're getting scorched is to wide receivers. So like, why can't you run back Zay Jones, right? Like, everyone wanted to play him last week. He had three drops in the first half, but in two games before that, he had a 31.5% target share. And now these Titans are allowing the most yards per target to opposing boundary receivers. So it's like, why can't this game get here? Like, I see value in this game. Unfortunately, like, if we don't get Treylon Burks, then we know that Robert Woods leads the team with a 22% target share with Burks off the field, but he also doesn't have a single top 25 finish this year. Like, Robert Woods doesn't offer the points anyway. So I don't know. I think Chigakonkwo is going to be high rostered at 2,700 on DraftKings. Jaguars also allowing a league high 9.3 yards per target to opposing tight ends. There's some value in this game. That's why I like this game.
Yeah, I meant to ask him, like I said, kind of answer the question. Neither one of you guys even brought it up once I missed it. Minnesota, like, I was gonna say, like, what's the upside for Adam Thielen? And I can ask the same, like, what's the upside? You answer, what's the upside for Robert Woods? Like, there is none, right? Like, these guys just like, what year is it? Okay, maybe 5 years ago on these guys, but no longer. Like, it's over. I don't know who CJ Board is. Looking at the receivers for Tennessee, should I know who CJ Board is? Is that my bad?
I mean, like, again, Robert Woods does have a ceiling, and at the same time, it's so volatile, but like, Nick Westbrook-Akeen at least has a top five finish in the last month among wide receivers, but also he has three finishes outside the top 65. So maybe you don't worry about him either.
Okay.
no one wants to talk about this game but me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've got a potentially injured Trevor Lawrence, a road dog that has a sub 20-point team total, facing a team that if they go up by even 3 points is just going to hand the ball for 2 yards a carry and not give a hell. Like, hell
yeah. What's not to like is what I'm hearing. Right?
So sub 20-point team total in this slate is money. That's the ceiling game.
John, you want to sell us on some Jags?
I mentioned Zay Jones. Everyone wanted to play him in cash games as chalk last week. And we talked about it, how we flag planted Chris Kirk over Zay Jones, given how poor the Lions have been against slot receivers recently. And Kirk, again, scorched them from the slot. Whereas, as we mentioned, Titans, where they're getting scorched is the boundary, and Kirk can still get there easily. But yeah, I actually think Zay Jones, given how bad this Titans pass defense has been, is not a bad bounce back spot here. On a slate, we need value.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's some stuff's going to open up. I hope so. Some stuff's going to open up as the week progresses.
You better hope so, because Elijah Moore is 3,500 on DraftKings, and he's going to get stuffed if it doesn't open up.
Is that the segue to game three? Are we done with Jags Titans or throwing that one in the garbage?
I mean, I can DraftKings, I can get with 4,700 Zay Jones.
And then 5,200 Ryan Tannehill.
You can punt with a Conkle. We're not doing any Tannehill stacks, but like, I can get with that little mini as like a salary saving mini if you want to go that route.
Are we good with a Conkle either way? If depending on Burks, or I assume he elevates a little bit as far as targets, or you like him just fine because he's a tight end, and he's cheap, and there's some upside.
I think it's fine. He has a catch of 30 or more yards in 4 of his past 5 games. He's getting splash plays. So 2,700, you luck box into a touchdown, you're there.
All right. Do we like Tannehill or Lawrence at all?
If Lawrence was healthy and like the Jags were basically knocked out, because they have a 2% chance to make the playoffs now. Like them bricking last week's game basically buried them. They would have controlled their own fate if they won, because they played the Titans twice still. Kind of this week, but picking up that injury, kind of like, you know, being now with like all but out of the playoff race, like there's some hesitation with some of their guys, you know, getting banged up, and they've already shown they'll be cautious with some guys, but although they let Lawrence come back in the game last week down while they were getting flooded.
All right, game three.
No one's playing ETN, right? Like, we didn't even talk about him, but.
Well, I mean, the reason we tacked the Eagles, we talked about it last week, is because you literally just can't run on the Titans, and they didn't try to run, but they also can't run. And now you get ETN, who did have 16 to 17 running back touches. I thought maybe Jamichael Hasty, since he did average over 5.5 yards per touch, may get worked into a little bit more of a role, but no, they just brought ETN back for his season high in snaps, actually. Just said, screw it. Like, he's an every down back again.
Do you think we'll see something similar with the Bengals?
I don't think so. I think P. Ryan has earned a little bit of a role, at least in the passing game, which takes away from Joe Mixon's ceiling.
I thought the same thing.
In this matchup, though, against the Browns, like, Joe Mixon may get there anyways.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But what's the price on Mixon? 8.5. I feel like he's gone up just chilling, right? It's 8.5 in FanDuel. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just curious. We have a few of those spots. Like Hasty played well and then, like, immediately got shelved for a guy coming back from injury. You know, I wonder what will happen because, hey, Pirine played excellent the last 2 weeks. You know, how do they handle that situation? Do they rebottle him? One of those things that could really be beneficial to how you play the slate.
And I mean, Joe Burrow has 20 carries the past 2 weeks. Like, what happens there if we get Mixon back?
Yeah, and it wasn't an injury. It's like a concussion. You know, it's like he's dealing with a leg that's kind of hampered, and they have the baby to some degree. Either you're concussed or you're not. I guess that's how it works.
I saw Deshaun Watson play football, Rich. I was timid. I got off of him due to recency bias.
I think you got to look at him at his price, man. You got to.
All right.
Game number three is, you mentioned Elijah Moore. I guess we'll talk about it more here, John. The Jets at the Bills. It's so weird to see the Bills in a game with a 43.5 total. Bills are almost like 9-point favorites here. Speaking of backfields that are kind of a mess, both these sides are murky. I hope you guys can help us out with this because the Bills, like a three-way split now. The Jets, I think Carter did not practice. It looks like he's on a path to come back this week. So that could be a mess as well. But, Rich, do you want to lead with Elijah Moore in this game? Or,
I'll let Daigle say. I've seen a lot of people cite Elijah Moore stuff in a game where they threw 57 passes. We'll see. I'll let a lot of people go down that road if they want to go down it while I keep playing the good Jets receiver.
Elijah Moore had 7 yards on 6 targets. Like, that's my analysis.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it takes talent to do that.
But listen, DraftKings still way too cheap on Garrett Wilson. I mean, we've seen both sides with both Garrett Wilson and Christian Watson, right? Like, those dudes were chalked and I kept getting there, right? It's the same story. And Garrett Wilson with Zach Wilson already had an 8-for-92 game against these Bills a couple weeks ago. So, you know, he's been now a top 15 scorer in 4 of his past 5 games. 2 of those games came with Zach Wilson too. So it's not like, you know, this just unlocked everything. What it did is just gave us a little bit more stability because the Jets are doing some things offensively. They're more aggressive on early downs. They're running a lot more play action. Now, they have played 2 of the worst pass defenses in the NFL over that span. And we were in this spot last year with Mike White, and he threw 4 interceptions against the Bills. also, Mike White was very bad last week against the Vikings. One of the worst quarterbacks in EPA per dropback, completed just 54% of his passes. He was 6-of-14 against man coverage. The Vikings have stopped. They were like, we'll just play some man coverage against this guy. We'll see if make him make some throws. Couldn't do that. So I'm really curious to see what happens, you know, in this game against the Bills, who they've given up a lot of yards since their bye. They had the good game on Thursday night, but this is a game that could feature some punchback if Mike White is actually not just what he was last year when these teams play.
John, talk about the Jets. What do we do with this backfield? Is it going to be a 3-man and like not worth breaking into? Or I know what Ty Johnson will be the third guy, I assume, but Knight seems like he's earned himself a spot. And then the other side, we just talk about that running back situation as well, where Cook, at least for a week, took over Singletary, and they even were working at Hines as well. But or you want to talk to receivers. The running back stuff is just a mess. I don't know how much you want to get into it.
Well, it's 2 situations, as Rich mentioned, that we're trying to sift through. Because what we know is that a couple weeks ago, whenever Mike White and Zonovan Knight, Mike Carter and Zonovan Knight, Knight who was active in place of James Robinson, they willingly healthy scraps James Robinson, which is why I never believed Robert Saleh when he said, like, Robinson's coming back and he's going to get mixed in. Carter had only out-touched Knight 8-5 in the first 2 quarters before injury. And then once Carter was injured, Knight out-touched Ty Johnson 12-5. And then last week we saw Knight, who was in, again, winning DraftKings lineups because he was 4,600, but they bumped him up over 1K this week. So we don't even think he's really plausible unless you think he's a stacking option with Mike White.
He's only 51, Knight, I think.
5-1 on
DK. Oh, 5-1. Okay, maybe I was thinking of something else. Okay, 5-1. Okay, that's interesting then, especially on DraftKings. But yeah, he out-touched Ty Johnson 20-7. And honestly, like, the past 2 weeks, ranking fifth in elusive rating at Pro Football Focus. And I understand Salah isn't going back to his hotel and looking at Pro Football Focus, but maybe he's seeing enough broken tackles here where I would think Knight leads Michael Carter in touches, even though it's probably going to be a timeshare. So it's still going to be a nuisance here, in my opinion. But more importantly, I look at the same thing like Rich was mentioning, and Mike White facing more man coverage last week. And then we also know that the Bills are sending blitzes at the sixth lowest rate. And the Bills are actually leading the league now in pass rushes of four pass rushes or less. And against those defenses, Mike White, it's a small sample, only 60 attempts, but he's 40th in completion rate and 31st in yards per attempt against four pass rushes or less. So it could be a little bit of a disaster here, even though we do have confidence in Garrett Wilson. Elijah Moore is more of a salary play. Because, again, we don't have volume right now. We expect it to open up. But even like Nick Westbrook-Akeen, for instance, is 4K on DraftKings. Elijah Moore is 3,500. Everyone only talks about Elijah Moore, even though he hasn't done anything all year. He's going to naturally get played, most likely, as a salary saver, which again, is not worth playing him, but he's the one who's going to file in. So that's all it is. I'd rather play Corey Davis, honestly. Seeing Corey Davis bump up for 8 targets last week, the second most routes on the team behind Garrett Wilson. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, but
and
I don't
plays in two wide receiver sets.
That too. That's true as well.
Anything to add there, Rich?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, Zonovan, I still think's in play at 5,100 on this particular slate. I think it's easier to kind of, when you look at like these running backs and where we're going to have to find guys, like him being kind of priced in that area is palatable. Depending on what you're building, just because you are getting like that passing game usage with him too. So he's probably the one guy. And obviously Garrett Wilson is just too cheap still.
Yeah. Do you want to sort through the Buffalo rushing options? Is it worth digging into?
I'm just not going to play these guys. I know that James Cook's already probably popping in a lot of the early optimal stuff. But it's really tough to get a grasp on. And plus, I mean, Josh Allen has accounted for 86% of the Buffalo touchdowns through the air are rushing. So we're fighting for a small touchdown equity regardless. And basically it's touchdown or bust with all these Buffalo running backs anyways. Good defense too that they're facing. It's hard. Remember, Nyheim Hines also played 23 snaps last week too. He had played just 24 snaps with the Bills prior since the trade. They were on a little more pony personnel in that game. And it wasn't just because they played on Thursday, because they had a full week because they played on Thanksgiving the week prior too. So it's kind of messy. I'm probably not going to chase it from a DFS stance. If you're in a season-long league and you want to throw James Cook in your flex on a week like this, like, sure, man. But I doubt he's really going to make my DFS player pool.
What do you have here, John, as far as – you feel the same way? It's like it's just dart throws and nothing looks great as far as that backfield for Buffalo?
No, I think that's still too thin, especially because we had the rug pulled out of us just a couple weeks ago. Like, James Cook ate into Devin Singletary's timeshare with 11 touches. And then the following week, he went back to just 4 touches. So I don't think that will happen this time, but you can't say it's not in the range of possibilities given that it literally just happened 2-3 weeks ago. So no, I don't think this backfield is where I'm looking at in this game.
Are they trying to figure out like what they want to do for the playoffs? Like, you know, they're basically going to be a playoff team. And obviously Cook was a, you know, pretty, was it second rounder or a third rounder? It was pretty high as far as the pedigree, right?
The second.
Yeah, which second-round running back, theoretically, he's supposed to replace Singletary at some point. Are they just trying to, like, bring him along slowly? I mean, what's the plan here?
Cook has been good. Like, he's averaging 10 yards per catch on 24 targets, so it's still double-digit targets. It's a median sample. And then in the 3 games, he's handled 10-plus carries. He's averaging 5.7 yards per carry. So he has been, like, really explosive. It's just, in my opinion, it's not enough of a timeshare in his favor to like trust thus yet.
Yeah. I think when you look at the Bills where they are, is that you've seen now from Thanksgiving on is they're trying a couple of different things because they're just not getting a lot of production from the non-Stephon Diggs guys in this offense. So I think they're trying to kind of figure out kind of what works with this offense. I mean, like I said, they ran their most two back sets that they've run in a game this season last Thursday. So I just think they're trying to figure out where they can get help outside of just having Stephon Diggs carry this offense, because no one's really stepped up for the whole course of the season for this offense outside of Diggs.
We do have the massive splits that Rich has talked about, I think on Thanksgiving, past Buffalo slates, where these guys come into play. And, you know, the first time in the first matchup the Jets played the Bills, they ran majority man coverage against them. And, like, we have these massive splits with Stephon Diggs, 2.8 yards per route run against man coverage, 4 touchdowns as well. But more importantly, like, Gabriel Davis is the one that suffers immensely against and he plays much better in zone coverage, 1.7 yards per route run compared to under 1 against man coverage. So it seems like another game where you'd be interested in Stephon Diggs, even though, you know, everyone will probably note the Sauce Gardner matchups.
Yeah, when these teams played in week 9, Stephon Diggs played his season high amount of snaps in the slot. 44% of his snaps were in the slot. It didn't lead to like a huge amount of targets in the slot, but that just shows from a rational coaching stance, like they were cognizant of, hey, you know, the Bills don't really move these cornerbacks around a lot. We're going to try to put our best player in the most optimal spot to have success. And that's what we always love to see with, you know, our coaches and their star wide receivers.
You don't have to spend up for one of these two. If you're going to spend up for Mahomes at Denver, or you got Josh Allen at home versus the Jets. Neither seem like the best possible matchup here, Rich, but which would be your preferred starting point if you had to pick one of those two?
Oh, easily Allen, just because there's at least a path where when the Jets already beat the Bills, like this game could be competitive. Like there's, I mean, we bet on the Broncos being competitive.
No, their defense is pretty good. And the other thing is like Kansas City, like when you try to find somebody to pair with Mahomes, it's like, it's impossible. There's like 19 guys that receive the ball. Like, I suppose, you know, Kelsey gets there sometimes, but if Kelsey doesn't get there, it's like nobody gets there. Everybody gets a little bit and just a little piece of pie, just enough to keep him going for next week. But I don't know. Same question, you know, Richard, John, you have a similar thought there? I guess it's going to be Allen, right?
It might be Mahomes, honestly, strictly, but I'm strictly playing the tournament game thinking that like, this is one of the few times we can get Mahomes at 2-3% with Kelsey. I don't even need to play receiver in a slate where if people pay up for tight end, they're going to run the Andrews splits with Huntley and play Andrews instead of Kelsey. And then, as you mentioned, they're going to play Allen over Mahomes. So I may just try to sneak Mahomes Kelsey stacks in, honestly, not even have a run back.
I think, is it Hurts that's going to be played amongst all those guys? I think he is, right?
Yeah, I think Hurts will be the most popular pay up quarterback for sure on main slate.
Recency bias, better matchup there.
Also, the Jalen Hurts has been a top 6 scorer in 10 of 12 games this year. Like he's legitimately good.
And as we know, Arthur Wand's splits against man coverage with Wink Martindale leaving all his guys on an island is going to lead to another blow up spot here.
Yeah, another good week, I think, for the Hurts stacks coming up on deck.
Anything of note as far as Buffalo and the Jets, Rich, or shall we move on and give our favorite plays position by position?
No, I think that's it. The other guys are all just dudes.
Yeah. John, same deal?
Just Jags. Ryan Tannehill, the last man standing.
Yeah. All right. We're going to give our favorite plays position by position amongst the players that are on, you know, in games that we've not yet talked about. Before we do that, we do want to mention Thrive. You don't want to mess with a 10-game slate on Thrive. You don't want to mess with that nonsense. Just pick some of your favorite props, and you don't have to talk.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? you need Indeed.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Talk about Russ Wilson or some terrible offenses. If you're not aware of Thrive, the fantasy prop action this season, it's at Thrive Fantasy. Easy to play. No salary cap style contests revolve around over under style player props. Each prop has a fantasy score associated with that prop. The riskier the prop, the higher the fantasy score. Rack up the most points for your share of the prize pool. Use the promo code Grinders, G-R-I-N-D-E-R-S, when you sign up for a deposit bonus. Up to $250 as well as free tickets. Terms and conditions do apply. If you deposit between $100 and $499, you get yourself two free $20 contest tickets. Deposit $500 or more, you get six free $20 contest tickets. All right. Also, check out the – we encourage you guys, check out the Roto-Grinders review page for Thrive Fantasy in the description for more information. Again, $250 deposit bonus or up to $250 deposit bonus with the promo code Grinders. Producer Steve, I'm sure he's got the props up on the screen, giving you guys plenty of times. Be as ambitious as you want to be as far as picking, some more or some less. I see Austin Eckler. If you want to be really ambitious, man, John, you can get Austin Eckler 150 points. Is he going to score more than two touchdowns or two touchdowns or more over 1.5?
Mike Williams may be back. That's a 100-point difference, though. I'm tantalized by it simply by the 100 points. I don't know if I could slay.
Yeah, no risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah. It's a 100-point difference. That's not even analysis, I know, but just take the 100-point difference. That's fine. We never see it. I'll go to Jamar Chase. I'm going to move out of the way and let Rich talk about that game when we get to quarterback positions. But Chase was on my list of players anyhow. Returned, wasn't limited, like ran around on every dropback except two of them. And also, we've now seen a 26.9% target share to T. Higgins' 18.2% in eight games together this year. So, I like Jamar Chase. The Browns still a bottom nine defense and explosive passes allowed. Chase over 76 yards at even money. That's great.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about him going over as well. And it's not like you're laying a bunch of juice or however you want to phrase it. But, yeah, even proposition, 100 points for that. You mentioned Deshaun Watson, who kind of fell on his face. He was just horrific. And I guess not terribly surprising, obviously super rusty. If you think he's going to have more than 1.5 passing touchdowns, you get 115 points on that. Rich, you're looking at the board. What's standing out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that going to looking at the Watson play, because they're probably going to have to score points. Just because you're getting 30 more points if you get there. Garbage touchdowns count as well, even if they're losing in this game. What do we got? I mean, Travis Etienne, no touchdowns, is 30 point difference as well. That one's pretty
good. Oh, baby. I didn't even see that one. Oh, baby. Yeah.
That one's pretty good. I like that. We've got Jalen Hurts plus 274.5 passing yards plus rushing yards. Wink likes the blitz. You miss on one of these blitzes, you play so much man coverage. I mean, the gate's open for some mobile quarterbacks too, plus the splash plays. I like that. Nick Chubb, 88.5 total yards, looks really good. Those all look strong at the top there.
I like that ETM one. That's a really good call, actually. No touchdown, you get 115 points. The one I was looking at, well, if Braves doesn't throw interceptions, passing touchdowns plus interceptions 2.5 less is getting 105 points. Like, he's not going to throw three touchdowns, is he? That's not happening. No. When was the last time that happened?
They can't score 21 points.
But he might throw three interceptions, and then all of a sudden you're buried that way as well. But, yeah, I that's the one I kind of like. But anything else there, John, or moving on as far as
CeeDee Lamb receiving touchdowns, interesting. Like Rich said, Texans rush defense has been better. You get 20 more points for a receiving touchdown from Lamb. And like Dak, they basically allow him now to live on the edge. Like, he has a turnover every game and they don't even care. He's upped his throws 20 plus yards downfield by 5% since he returned from injury. Like, they literally just go for explosive plays, and they know if they turn the ball over, it's fine, because their defense is also on offense basically at all times.
All right. Again, check out Thrive. Use the promo code Grinders, G-R-I-N-D-E-R-S, when you sign up for a deposit bonus up to $250, as well as those free tickets we talked about. So, position by position, favorite quarterbacks, Rich, that we've yet to talk about. And I'm curious if you don't like him, if you have a thought as far as Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to make my player pool, but maybe if we get there, I think that's one of the few games that has potential to, like, be high score. I mean, the Browns are, you know what, they're the highest team. They have the highest over total this season, games going over the total. So if there is a game to pop, it could be that one. If he just plays a little bit better, gets a little bit more acclimated, or the script is just trash and you can get a run out. I like the Burrow side a lot more. I like the Bengals side. They're just so hot. I mean, Burrow has been first or second in weekly scoring in four of his past seven games. Ultra ceiling. I don't know how popular he's going to be. He's got 16 passing touchdowns and 3 interceptions over that span. We saw Chase come back, and it looks like they handled that situation right. No limitations, just back to being a full-time player. When these teams played two on Halloween night, the Bengals couldn't run the ball. They actually have a pretty poor history against the Browns altogether. I don't know if this is like the one, you know, defense that, you know, what is it, Joe Woods can stop, like, I don't know, one offense that they have success game. But Burrow's 0-4 against the Browns, but I still like the Bengals stacks going to those guys. I don't know if we'll get to the pay down Tyler Huntley experience. I don't know. He can run. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, he's run for 40 or more yards in basically any extended appearance he's had. But, like, Lamar Jackson wasn't getting there this year, so at least the salary is cheap. But those are kind of the other guys that, like, I kind of just have, like, a thumb on outside of Ryan Tannehill.
5-5 for Huntley. Not 5K, not straight 5, and 7K on FanDuel. Not even in the sixes over there, but he does have legs. So sometimes that can work out in tournaments. John, what do you have as far as quarterbacks?
Not much. It's a small pool this week, honestly, mm-hmm. whereas last week I was trying to dwindle it down. The only other one is who I mentioned is Patrick Mahomes. If you want to pay up, thinking like they get there via through passing touchdowns for the most part. And we've seen blowouts before. They beat the 49ers by 20 points. Mahomes was the QB3 on the week. They beat the Rams by 3 scores. Mahomes scored 22 DraftKings points in that game. So it's possible Mahomes and Kelce just spike it, get the 300-yard bonus, and get out of there on an ugly slate. So that's really it, honestly.
John, get us started as far as a running back or two that are jumping out for you, that, you know, in a game we've not yet talked about.
What do you have projected for Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard right now? Ezekiel Elliott's very cheap on DraftKings. Again, Rich already mentioned Texas defense has been improved, but honestly, like, the way game script goes here, we know Cowboys defense, even being the highest priced on both sites, is going to be rostered. We know one of Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard is going to be rostered, but I propose to you, what if we play Zeke, Pollard, and the Cowboys defense, thinking they all get there, since Pollard can easily get there. And the passing game alone. And Zeke has
been. That's why you brought up Ryan Tannehill. You're going to have to play Ryan Tannehill if you do that.
and Zeke has been awesome the past two games, too. Zeke averaging over 5 yards per carry the past 2 weeks with 16 and 17 carries in those two games. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm proposing.
What's interesting, we do have a higher projection for Pollard over Zeke. Similar. Yep. But we have a higher projection amongst those two. Power a little more expensive on DK, 6'7". Zeke is 6'1". Do you have a lean there, Rich? I mean, they just put a complete hurting on the Indy with 33 points. And they dropped on him in the fourth quarter. They just kind of rope-a-dope him, you know let him have a little fun for the first few quarters, and then just, you know, curb-stopped him, I suppose you can say. And now they have Houston, Battle of Texas, and they're favored by, 17?
Yeah, 17.5-point home favorites. I mean, it's a spot you look for just running volume, right? And I don't think it matters if Houston has been better against the run in this particular setting, because they're probably just going to get 30-plus carries put on them anyways. What scenario do they avoid that happening, you know, here? Davis Mills ain't going to do it, you know, who's back starting. Zeke actually has been a top 15 scorer in 5 straight games he's played. It's all touchdown. He's basically is Jamal Williams, like Texas Jamal Williams, but he's been good and the running game's good. And they probably won't get Tyron Smith back this week, but they did activate his 21-day window. So they're going to get help across the offensive line here too. We know people just inherently like Tony Pollard more though, right? Like he's been, he's the sex cannon, man. Zeke is more expensive on FanDuel than Tony Pollard.
That's I didn't see that. Okay. Cause Zeke's significantly cheaper on DraftKings.
Yeah. He's 61, kind of in like that work where David Montgomery has been priced, which I think is fair on a slate like this. Like that, I think 61 is playable on this slate. We wish he was catching some passes. That's like the one turnoff. Neither of these guys really are catching any passes. We had the one Vikings game where Pollard had the monster game receiving, but Cowboys running backs have not caught passes all year, really.
It's also just a story of the slate in that we're not scared of the more expensive running backs. Like Saquon Barkley is averaging 3.6 yards per touch over the last five games. Derrick Henry, 2.6 yards per carry over the last month. Christian McCaffrey did get hammered 10 targets, 25 touches last week. But again, that's a 37-point total with a seventh round rookie at quarterback. Like, it's just, okay, well, I'm not paying up anyways. Why don't I pay for Pollard and Zeke? Because that's the route no one's going to go.
They're going to lean on CMC hard. I don't know how hard, right? They're thinking playoffs as well, but in theory, you think they would want to use him, you know, but then the matchup against Tampa is not spectacular either. I don't know. I'm curious.
You're playing him all for receiving. He's not doing it. He hasn't run the last month. He hasn't had more than 40 rushing yards in a game. Like, you're playing him because all the receiving equity he has when everyone thought he wasn't going to get thrown any passes going to Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan's never thrown to a running back before.
Okay. So is he going to be, is that going to continue, or is he going to catch some passes?
Yeah, of course it is, especially for Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy had the lowest ADOT in the NFL last week when he came in.
Believer?
Did you watch a lot of Brock Purdy at Iowa State?
Oh no.
Preseason as well.
I did not watch him on the Cyclones. I could not line up.
If you played preseason DFS, you were aware of Brock Purdy. You saw.
Yeah, the arm strength isn't there. It's all anticipatory throws here.
I mean, if I heard his nickname, it's not the arm that people are talking about. Just hit the Google up if you guys are not aware of that one. I feel like it's the rhyme scheme is where the nickname. I have no idea. I'm not privy to the locker room. But all right. Anybody else as far as running backs that we should mention here?
I mean, I think that this slate, the way that this slate and I think rostership's going to go, you have to look at Miles Sanders, I think, where he's priced on both sides. Because one, he's leveraged off of what will surely be popular run backs of the Eagle stacks. He's got a bunch of touchdown equity in that offense as well. The Giants are 31st in the NFL in yards allowed prior to contact on running back carries. The past month, they've allowed 96 rushing yards, 150 rushing yards, 152 rushing yards, and 136 rushing yards to running backs. And those are the Texans, the Lions, the Cowboys, who are good, and the Commanders running backs. I think of this slate, like, this is where we are, where I'm like, oh, man, I would never play Miles Sanders in my life. But he's looking pretty all right on this slate.
You got anybody else here, John?
Nope, we already talked about him. I don't know what cheap running backs would open up, though, outside of Travis Homer. I don't think there are many injuries right now. It may be a tough week or one that we play Zonovan Knight just to get salary here.
And do you really want to play either of the Seattle guys? Like, they're not even priced down. Like, it's not like they're like 4,400 or something.
Right. And Homer's not like a between the tackles, like gonna get the 20 touches kind of guy, right? I think of him as just like he's more of a receiving running back if nothing else. Am I thinking of somebody else? That's who he is, right?
No, he's a receiving back.
Okay. I mean, if you don't have anybody, then you.
when you look up and it's Tony Jones, Godwin Ogbuike, and Wayne Gallman, you might have to give the ball to Travis.
Yeah,
you're right.
Tony Jones, formerly of the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
Last Thanksgiving last year, he was chalk. Remember? Like, wasn't he really popular? He was like kind of really popular on the Thanksgiving slate last year.
I can't remember how he did, but I know I had.
No, he did not do well.
I think I had too much.
No figure.
Tony Jones' jock absolutely fell on its face. All right, receiver.
We've never been steered wrong on that road before.
I need Rich to help me out with cheap receivers because really all I got is what Chase I already mentioned, Arthur won, and then I guess if everyone's going to be the Seahawks running back, like DK Metcalf is right here with a 29% target share the last three games. The Panthers are allowing the fifth highest completion rate on throws 10 plus yards downfield. So I would think that Metcalf can very easily get there as well. And you could play him by playing Ryan Tannehill.
I'm looking for some cheap receivers. I'm trying, you know, I'm scrolling over and like lowering.
Corey Davis is the best I got.
Huh. Michael Gallup is 4'6". Nico Collins, you guys mentioned Nico Collins. He's 4'4", is on the comeback.
Throw those targets at the wall, man.
Davis Mills targets. I don't know if that's any better.
Targets.
That.
Slayton's 5'1", maybe.
I mean, listen, Jerry Jeudy at 5,400 is awesome, especially if we see him practice in full. Cortland Sutton there, he said, is not going to play. He plays in the slot. I mean, the Chiefs are a team we've targeted with wide receiver production regardless. I mean, we've seen when Jeudy was out, Sutton had all the targets too. Dulcich is going to be really popular on this slate. I mean, I think Judy's a pretty strong play, especially if Sutton's going to be out.
Man, I'm trying to find somebody cheap. You mentioned Jeudy. What about is Hinton? Is he playable?
Yeah. We haven't really seen anything happen for the Kendall. We want the story to be real.
The story wasn't real with Sky Moore, by the way, right? Can we just
nope.
What was that?
No.
Yeah, Justin Watson, Sky Moore. Maybe Tony's back. Doesn't matter. It's all a big mess. It's so disappointing.
They're all going to play.
Yeah, it's
and they've been running and the Chiefs too. We didn't even talk about it last week. Like they've run so much more 12 personnel too. Like Noah Gray's playing a ton of snaps now. They're just playing everybody. Literally everybody's playing.
All right, that's it. That's it with the slate. You want to give like
Chris Godwin is a really good play. I think if you are playing.
I was trying to skip tight ends. I guess we got to talk about tight ends.
Do we?
Do we?
We can acknowledge the existence that they are a position that
we brought up on Okonkwo, Thomas James, Dulcich Aleche, Mark Andrews splits. I think we covered all the ground there.
Austin Hooper actually ran more routes than Okonkwo. Like if you want your touchdowns with Ryan Tannehill, I could not believe, Dean. I could not believe when I looked up, I was like, oh, it's another Daniel Bellinger week. If there ever was a first one. And DraftKings priced him at $3,400. How do they get there?
What?
I don't understand that. How do they make Garrett Wilson under $6,000 every week and he's $3,300? That's not even cheap enough for a cheap tight end. Like, let me have Bellinger at $2,600. What are we doing?
Dulcich is going to be, I guess without Sutton, he's got great hair. He's got a good mustache. He had that one touchdown where, like, nobody's even close to him.
Looks like Indigo Montoya. he's incredible, just great flowing mane. But people are going to bring up last week, and he, you know, because he had the fifth highest target share tight ends had in a game. Jeudy only played 20 snaps. Plus, we also seen Dulcich fail when Jeudy was out the previous three games. It was just Sutton. So, like, there's definitely a path. I think he's a solid play, but there's definitely a path for him failing if he is like the chalk punt down to pay down.
It's just the rule every week. Like, just don't play the chalk. Don't play the cash game tight end.
Right. That's basically it. So when you come back and on Saturday night, see where we're looking at projected ownership, and you go the other direction.
I used that rule when TJ Hockenson had like 400 yards, a couple like.
The Seahawks game.
That was a bad rule.
Well, to be fair, no one was alive for the Lions. That
yeah, he was last man standing. All right. Oh, we're going to bring in producer Steve. We're going to talk some movies. That's it for the slate. Unless you want to give like your favorite stack, Rich, what's your favorite stack on a Wednesday night?
I think probably Burrow stacks, but we'll circle back to projected ownership. But I would say I'm going to play some Bengals if no one else is.
John?
It's so bad. I really do like Jared Goff and Ryan Tannehill. I'm not even kidding.
Goff's a good play. I'll give you that one.
Okay, give me the second one. Those two are my favorite in the slate, honestly.
All right.
I hope Tannehill wins you a bunch of money, though. I am cheering for that.
I you know what? As much as we complain, we're all playing with the same player pool. So like, we're all nobody has like these secret hidden pieces that we're not aware of. But
and again, have you seen this player pool this week?
I want you guys to win money still.
Yeah. I want you guys to win.
I want to win the movie contest since we. Everyone's stacking wins except Rich and I. What the hell's going on? I thought last week was my week, and then George Pickens had one catch.
I think I had Burks as my receiver, and like it's one of those like he scored a touchdown on the same play he got concussed, but like at least he got a touchdown. But yeah, that was kind of a bummer.
Well, I had Garoppolo, so
yeah.
What's
by
that?
The way,
I had Garoppolo, so
that's even worse. There
was a comment last week. that he asked, like, where's the fantasy talk? These guys are talking movies. But, like, last week, the cutoff, we did an hour and 10 on fantasy and the slate on a Wednesday. Like, we
what was it on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody on YouTube, I don't know if they started the show in like an hour and 11 minutes. They said, well,
we prepped you as much as we could, and we literally gave you Jalen Hurts doubles when no one else is talking about it on a Wednesday night. So I'm just going to say the cutoff right now.
We gave you the nuts.
We are 101 into the nuts with Ryan Tannehill. So, like, cut it off, and now we're going to talk movies. It's an hour on a Wednesday night in fantasy. Like, we set you up.
Yeah, for those that are not aware, we run the fun little contest. You know, we're getting to the point in the season where we got to keep things fun and interesting on the show, right? For us and everybody listening as well. Feel free. Hopefully, people are watching the movies along with us.
I actually had quite a few DMs. I'm not even kidding, saying like not only commenting on what we should have said about the best intros. So a couple people had Die Hard 3 best intro, but then said we didn't mention it. We didn't mention it because Die Hard 3 after the intro was not worth mentioning. And then also I had a lot of people comment to me about Sideways saying, can't believe you haven't seen it. It's an amazing movie. And you know what, Dean? They were right.
Sideways.
I cannot believe I've gone through my lifetime of not seeing Sideways. This movie like encapsulates what I love about movies. Like, this is everything I want in my movies. Great lines about I'll not drink the fucking Merlot.
Yes.
That was a literal laugh out loud moment for me, by the way. Like, you got the little love story worked in. You got some depression and life problems worked in. Those are always my favorites.
You got some male nudity out of nowhere. You didn't see that coming.
No, did not see it coming. And hilarious. The acting is incredible. I lived in Santa Monica for 5 years, so I'm very familiar with every street they drove.
Oh,
this movie was close to home. Like, this one was amazing.
It won the AFI Best Picture Movie of the Year. It was nominated for Oscar nominated for Best Picture, for Best Director, Best Supporting Actor, Thomas Hayden Church, Best Supporting Actress, Virginia Madsen. It won for Best Screenplay. We're going to bring his producer, Steve. Did we bring him in?
I'm here.
Steve, by the way, producer Steve is like, rope it open before the show. He won last week. Congratulations. He's got to assign us a movie now. And
he had a Mike White stack, I believe.
Did you come up with show off your lineup. Very nice lineup there. And did you come up with a movie for the people? One, well, let's backload that for a second. For us, we got to watch a movie. Two, what was your thoughts as far as Sideways? Were you as moved as John was?
Loved it.
No. I didn't. I liked it. I did like it, but it's not something like I'm going to watch again.
Yeah.
Man. Maybe different stages of life. As I turn 33 right now, I just thought, gosh, it spoke to me so much. I just loved it.
The metaphor that, like, you know, one of the wines was like Paul Giamatti, the other wine was like Thomas Hayden Church. It was beautiful. It was perfect.
And it's just about life, right? Like, get rid of the wine, replace it with cacao beans, replace it with, I don't know, guns. Like, it's just like, that's just wine is just a hobby. And now I can speak a little more intelligently about wine just because of that movie. But, like, honestly, like, the wine is just like something, it's just something that's present, but it's not actually the real protagonist here. It's really just about the characters and their stories in life.
Yeah. I'm not even a wine drinker and I like it. I'm not sophisticated enough to drink wine. Rich, what about you? What was your take as far as Sideways?
Oh yeah, it's a gem. One that I've seen several times, and it's great, you know, because, you know, the whole movie is set up for. I knew it was right going to be in Daigle's wheelhouse for all the reasons he mentioned. But you know, I love the angle. Giamatti is so good in that movie, and, you know, it's like, you know, Giamatti is the example of depression, but the true empty character is Thomas Hayden Church. You know, his character in the movie, and, you know, I just love all the performances are amazing. I mean, it's well written. You know, especially in this era of movies, not to be snob, I love all the shit, like the Marvel movies and stuff that comes out too. I love it, but it is nice and refreshing to just get a low budget, well written, well acted movie and dive into that.
I definitely agree, though. The acting was really good. Paul Giamatti was great. But just the story, like, it was a good movie. I enjoyed watching it. But like I said, it's just I'm not gonna watch it again.
It isn't like one that you like. It's not. It is like a if you're gonna watch it, you go back to it. It's not like one you just constantly like I'm gonna pop this in all the time.
Right.
Yeah. It reminds me of Good Will Hunting, but Good Will Hunting I can literally watch every day if you told me to.
Just an incredible. That's like a perfect movie. Like, it's hard to compare anything to Good Will Hunting, but yeah, that's yeah. Wait. Steve, have you seen Good Will Hunting?
No.
Oh,
yes.
Like as a side project, do it for yourself.
Yeah, not even for us. You just go watch it. And you're going to recognize memes. You're going to recognize lines. Like, you're going to not even understand, like, these quotes came from this movie.
Yeah, you're young enough. It's not your fault. You haven't seen it. It's not your fault. But you should see Goodwill Hunting.
Is that the Oh Captain, My Captain thing?
What is Oh Captain, My Captain?
Oh Captain,
My Captain. They stand up on the desks or something? I don't know. I might be thinking of a different movie.
No, I'm sure someone in the chat will help us out. It's not that.
Oh, Captain, My Captain's Walt Whitman, apparently. That's one of his, a poem? He was a poet, right? I know Walt Whitman from Breaking Bad, mostly.
No, that's not it.
Anyways, please, seriously, it's... I implore John. I honestly have that is probably my favorite movie of all time. Good Will Hunting, and on the podium, if nothing else, like on the Family Feud board. And it sounds like you have it as well.
Oh, Captain is a Dead Poet Society, by the way.
Yeah,
that makes sense. There you go.
Hands up on the desk. Good job, Steve.
Oh, so Robin Williams is in both. So I guess
yes, he is.
That's why I was kind of thinking about it like that, but I wasn't sure.
All right. Well, you have the lineup. You played Austin Hooper like a sicko on us, but it did. But everything else is sound. Rich played McLaurin as well. I did Devonta Smith pivot from AJ Brown is what I did in stacks. I didn't have Jalen Hurts. I thought that was an amazing pivot. You know, Garrett Wilson, Mike White, we all talked about last week as well. So I thought it was like a really just sound lineup. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
I felt good about it. I feel like I get a little bit of an edge, you know, producing all the shows and hearing all the different takes from everyone throughout the week. But
you called the win in the chat. You said, I'm feeling good. You said, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I felt good.
Did you throw this in other stuff?
No.
I feel like this is a winning.
I would have cashed. What was
it? Would have manned.
Yeah, this was, it would have cashed line.
It cashes. So yeah, nothing else. It's not going to take stuff down, but, you know, you profit a little bit.
All right.
All right, so Steve.
I was going to
throw
about
a bunch of movies at us. So
I was thinking about some picks for the movies during the show. One of them was Juice. Did you guys ever see Juice?
Ooh.
Is that Tupac? Yeah.
I saw it many, many years ago.
That's a good one.
I've not seen it. Yeah, I've seen it multiple times. Like 93 that came out, right?
Yeah, before I was born.
Yeah, okay.
So Juice was one of them. Knives Out, it's newer, but I really enjoyed that. Thinking back, I don't know if anyone has seen
the second one is coming out soon.
Yeah, I saw the first one's very good. The second one's going to be on Netflix soon.
I think someone told me to watch Knives Out, the first one, and I did. And it's best if you go in not knowing what you're going to watch. That's the most fun experience.
Yes,
like Parasite. If you don't know what it's about, and then you press play, and you're like, "What the hell did I just see?"
I saw Parasite in the theater, and like
hell
yeah. The people when it was over, the audience applauded. When was the last time you were in a theater where the audience applauds?
It was Inception.
Okay, yeah. But like I didn't know people. I thought it was like landing a plane. I didn't know people still do that. No, I can't imagine. But yeah, that everybody like wow, that was just incredible. And
Parasite, Inception, and The Arrival, which no one talks about, but The Arrival. Those are three movies that. I literally like stopped him. I stopped in my tracks afterwards and was like, I think my life just changed because of these movies.
I like The Arrival. Didn't love The Arrival. Liked
it. Man, just communication in general. Oh my gosh, dude, that movie.
It's a good, it's
it blew my brain.
I appreciated it. Yeah.
All right. So what do we got here?
And then the last one is, I don't know, Baby Driver.
Seen it.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, but I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I really liked that one too. It was a good watch.
I'm the one that's behind, so y'all have to pick. Y'all pick and I'll just
watch. No, it's Steve's pick.
It's Steve's. I've seen all three for these for the record, but I'm fine seeing them over again. And no worries.
Rich, you saw all of them as well?
Yes.
All right. Now I'll let Daigle pick since he didn't see some of them. Which one do you want to watch?
Let's Kit Cloud says Arrival is brutal. That's not true. It's an amazing movie. And let's do Baby Driver. I know it has Run the Jewels, who I listen to in the soundtrack. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Baby Driver's fun. Kit Cloud, which do you prefer, The Arrival or playing Ryan Tannehill this week?
Maybe this is just the Daigle bad take show. It's my flu game.
I enjoy The Arrival.
Yeah. But also, you don't love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's like I feel like how Steve felt about Sideways. Like I don't know if I need to see it again.
That's fair.
Moki said, "There's something about Mary." There was applause. So there you go. I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Steve, you definitely haven't seen Something About Mary, right?
I think I have actually.
Oh, okay. I thought I had your wheelhouse picked out correctly.
That feels like his wheelhouse. He hasn't seen Parasite. I would lay 7-1 if not seen Parasite. Is anyone want to take me up on that?
We're gonna have to watch that if I ever win this damn thing.
What's that? Which one?
Parasite.
Oh. Yeah, Parasite.
Just for everyone else, just for the chat, since they're following along with us.
Dean's right. I didn't see it. But I did see something about Mary.
Yeah.
All right. Baby Driver. That's the movie of the week. We can do this. I got this.
All right. Who's going to call our shot for next week? Is it going to be John? Is it going to be Rich? Who's taking it? I think Rich.
I mean, listen, if Daigle is not playing a Ryan Tannehill stack in this thing, then I'm calling him out.
Hold on. Let me see if I have Treylon Burks.
We're not playing Ryan Tannehill if you talk about him for 60 minutes.
And Kenny Pickett only came 6 points away because of George Pickett. It wasn't even Kenny Pickett's fault.
I'm pulling your card.
That is the NFL Pick Six Show. Producer Steve, John, and Rich. John, tell the people where they can find you, all the socials. Where can they get the goods?
You can find me crying when Ryan Tannehill doesn't go for over 300 yards. And then you can also find me at Najee Daigle on Twitter, as well as 44.com. I'm still writing the waiver column. I got four more weeks of it. 15, 16, 17, 8. Yeah, 4 more weeks of it. It's still piling out there. So we're still in these redraft streets.
There's a waiver column for week 18?
There is. And as someone who has written it the last 4 years, let me tell you, it is the least fun thing I do all year long.
Fair enough. Rich, tell the people in the socials, all the good stuff.
Yep. Sharp Football Analysis. We've kind of shifted to where like there's weekly packages. You can use Starter 50 to take 50% off the first week if you just want to sign up for a week, get in and out. This was my last week of bye, so I've got the powerhouse of full NFL slates through the holidays ahead of me.
For producer Steve, the NFL Pick Six Show, for Roto Grinders, for John, for Rich, for Walt Whitman. We appreciate y'all watching the show.
And for Dave, getting drinks with Daigle.
Say it again.
For David, for our good friend David, who listens to every show.
Yeah, shout out, David.
For getting drinks with me, even though he's Irish, we only ever drink Guinness together. But to be fair, like a good Guinness draft is amazing.
I like a good Guinness. That's cliche, though. I was just like, I feel like that's cliche to assume he drinks Guinness, but I guess that the stereotype is true.
Well, he also judges all of them vehemently. Like, he's not happy with a lot of them.
Well, aren't they all kind? Well, like I've
no, because they have to be poured like properly, like literally a certain inch, like 1.2 inches of the nitro tap at top.
Well, a proper Guinness pour takes like 5 minutes, doesn't it? Supposedly,
I feel it
like
it actually does. Yes,
every time. Yeah, I feel like it's a whole thing. I know I've had this tutorial once or twice before. I like Bailey's. How about that? Shout out to Bailey's. All right, that's John. That's Rich. No, that's Steve. Is that offensive?
I don't know. It's just like cream liqueur, isn't it? Anyways, we're trying to get the hell out of here. For shout Colin out to Dean.
Barrel.
Holler.
All right.